This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace and blessings be on each and every one of you. We'd like to welcome you to our segment of the program, The Best in Islam. In this program, we look at all that is considered best from an Islamic perspective. We have guidance in the texts of the Quran, and we have guidance in the texts of the Sunnah, the explanations of the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessing be upon him. And we have been looking at previously the best in Islam in terms of the practice of Islam. We're now going to look at what is the best with regards to the controversial topic, jihad. The Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, had said, as narrated by Abu Sa'id, Abu Umama, and Tariq ibn Shihab, أَفْضَلُ الْجِهَادِ كَلِمَةُ الْحَقِّ عِنْدَ سُلْطَانٍ جَائِرٍ. The best form of jihad is a truthful word in the presence of a tyrannical ruler. So this again helps to clarify the concept of jihad, as we have explained in previous episodes, that it is not simply about picking up a gun and flying a plane and dropping bombs or whatever, you know, in war and battle. That is an aspect. It may reach that level, but jihad fundamentally is a struggle to promote what is correct, what is truthful, over what is false and incorrect. Jihad can involve writing in defense of the truth. It could involve speaking. It could involve building. It could involve so many different things that are connected with life. Jihad is a part and parcel of it, that we should never think that jihad is purely fighting, involving violence, bloodletting, destruction, etc. That may occur in some instances, etc., but that is not primarily jihad. As the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, clarified here, that the best form of jihad is a truthful word in the presence of a tyrannical ruler. A ruler who is a tyrant, he's oppressing and hurting, harming society, and somebody stands up and speaks the truth to him, stops him in his tracks, or is just killed simply because he spoke the truth. But to stand up at that time when you have a tyrant, one who is killing if anybody resists him, or jailing, or harming in one way or another, families, etc., people are afraid. For that person to stand up then, that is the best form of jihad. The truthful word. This is the words of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. So we need to put this concept of jihad in its proper context. In fact, there is a narration that the Prophet told us that when the Antichrist comes, as one of the signs of the last day, when the Antichrist is forcing people to accept him as God, a young man will come and he will be called by the Antichrist, Dajjal, Masih al-Dajjal. He'll be called and told to accept him as God, and he will reject him and say, no, I know you are the false Christ, the Antichrist. So Dajjal will cut him in half, walk between his half, his bodies to the right and to the left, he'll walk in between them. Then he'll turn and call the body to come back. The halves will come together, he'll come back alive again, and he will say to him, now do you accept me as God? And he will say, I'm now even more certain that you are not. So Dajjal will take him, he'll try to cut off his head, he's not able to do so, but he grabs him and throws him into the fire that he has with him. Because Dajjal will have with him what looks like a river from paradise. Cool, sweet, fragrant. And he will have with him a river which will look like a river from hell. Lava. Stinking. Hot. He will take him and throw him into that lava. And he will be burnt up. That's what the people will see. The Prophet Muhammad had said, he will be the greatest martyr that ever lived. He will be the greatest martyr that ever lived. He stood up. He made the jihad by speaking the truth before Dajjal. He could have saved himself by accepting, though he didn't believe it in his heart, accepting it outwardly. He chose not to. And the Prophet ﷺ had explained to us that what happened to him when he was thrown into the fire, when he was burnt up, it looked like he was burnt into cinders, you know, we couldn't see him anymore, disappeared, that actually that was his route to paradise. And he said that if we find ourselves in that situation where we're between what appears to be that river from paradise and the river from hell, jump in the one that looks like hell. Because the Antichrist's hell is paradise, and his paradise is hell. So, just reiterating the concept that jihad at its peak, as the Prophet Muhammad has said, is speaking the truth before a tyrannical ruler. Another example which the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, gave, which helps to show further that jihad is not merely picking up guns and fighting. There was a narration from Amr ibn Amr, in which he quoted the Prophet Muhammad as saying, أَفْضَلُ الْجِهَادِ مَنْ جَاهَدَ نَفْسَهُ فِي ذَاتِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. The best jihad is that one of you strives against the evil temptations of his soul for the sake of Allah, most great and glorious. This is an authentic narration. The Prophet here clarifies for us that jihad is not merely with guns, bombs, etc. The best jihad is one who strives against the evil temptations of his own soul for the sake of Allah. Because in the end, if jihad is to uphold the truth, it is to establish what is right and prohibit or stop what is harmful and wrong, then that has to begin with the individual. Because the one on the battlefield, if he has not tackled what is wrong within himself, then on the battlefield he will commit all kinds of atrocities. And that's why it's not surprising when we find the armies supposedly to police the Muslim world and to ensure that, you know, justice and goodness prevails. We find so many cases of members of the military being prosecuted for all kinds of atrocities. So though they went in proudly, you know, upholding what was supposed to be a righteous cause, when they got into that society, they went wild. So many people were hurt, you know, were harmed in the most evil of ways because they themselves were not good people. They had not chosen struggle or the fight because they really believed in right over wrong, etc. It was a job. You're in the military, you do whatever you're told to do, and atrocities came along with it. With that, we're going to take a break, and I will see you shortly after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace and blessings be on each and every one of you. We'd like to welcome you to our segment of the program, The Best in Islam. In this program, we look at all that is considered best from an Islamic perspective. Prior to the break, we were looking at other forms of jihad, which most people are not familiar with. They think of jihad and the jihadists, you know, as terrorists, blowing up things, blowing up people, cutting throats and all kinds of things, which have been attributed to jihad. And the name jihad is used, so jihad is like a bad word. But really, from the Islamic perspective, you know, jihad is a very noble struggle. Struggle for the truth. And it begins within the individual himself. So much so that the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, had said that the greatest jihad was the struggle against the evil temptations of the soul. The Prophet also went on to define jihad in another way, with regards to women. Because from the Islamic perspective, women don't fight on the battlefield in general. There were some exceptions made. But in general, women would help the sick or the wounded, etc., from a nursing type perspective, or when the people were brought home back to Medina, they were looked after, etc. Or they looked after the children and the city, you know. When those who were engaged in struggle had to leave the city, who were the majority, because really, in the time of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, they didn't have a standing army. There was no army that, okay, the battle comes, send the army out. No. When the battle came, everybody went. There was no special army. Everybody fought. Who was able, every able-bodied person went out and fought. So, because of the fact that, you know, jihad was referred to in so many different narrations as, you know, among the greatest deeds, we have, for example, in the narration of Anas and Ibn Mas'ud, in which he quotes the Prophet ﷺ as saying that among the best of deeds is jihad fi sabilillah. So, and this is in reference to the actual fight, going out and fighting in defense of the Muslim Ummah, protecting the Muslim Ummah, protecting Islam, protecting the spread of Islam, protecting the practice of Islam, all of that, where people put their lives on the line for it. This is called jihad fi sabilillah. However, though the reward was so great, the women questioned, what about us? You know, Aisha radiallahu anha, wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, naral jihad afdalul amal, afala nujahid? O Messenger of Allah, we consider jihad the best of deeds. So shouldn't we make jihad? He replied, La, lakin afdal al-jihad hajjun mabrur. For the women, he told them, La, you shouldn't go out to fight. Instead, the best jihad for women is the blessed hajj. Hajjun mabrur. So, he is referring to Hajj al-Mabrur as jihad for women. Because, of course, when people make the pilgrimage involves struggle and strife, difficulty. For men, it is easier for them to handle that situation. For women, having children or having had children, the struggle of pilgrimage is far greater on them, far more great. So Allah, in His mercy, He designated that for the women as their jihad. That is their struggle, to make Hajj, to make a correct Hajj, not just to make any Hajj, but to make a correct Hajj. Hajj which is accepted by Allah, wherein the one who does it, all of his or her sins are erased. As the Prophet ﷺ had said, the person would return back home like a newborn child, free from sin. So we have the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, referring to Hajj as being jihad. So this further strengthens the argument that one should not merely use the term jihad to refer to a military struggle. I know that those who have been painting this ugly picture of Islam, suicide bombers, you know, killing innocents, decapitating, raping, all these other kinds of things going on, and attributed to those who they call jihadists. This is the common image. And they don't really allow the Muslim scholarship or Muslim speakers to convey this other picture. The picture that is not jihad, what those people are doing in the name of Islam and in the name of jihad. What they're doing is not from Islam. Islam prohibits, you know, the slaughter of prisoners. It prohibits the massacre of innocents. It prohibits raping of women, these kind of things which may go on. Islam is against all of this. This is not from Islam at all. This is not jihad. This is just war. A war over territory, seeking to control resources, to build a state for its own purposes. This is what you're dealing with. This is not jihad. And when Muslims try to explain that no, jihad is actually this other way, which doesn't involve necessarily military, they say, no, they're just making up excuses. But here are the clear statements of Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, wherein he has referred to jihad in a variety of different ways. We're now going to look at another aspect of the best in Islam, and that is with regards to journeys. Where we should take journeys to? What is the best place to journey to? As a religious journey, we have the statement of the Prophet, as narrated by Jabir ibn Abdullah, خَيْرُ مَا رُكِبَتْ إِلَيْهِ الرَّوَاحِلْ مَسْجِدِي هَذَا وَالْبَيْتُ الْعَتِيقِ. The best places to ride camels to are this masjid of mine and the ancient house, that is, the Kaaba, Mecca. That if we are to set out on journeys, and we are making journeys all the time, we have vacation, etc., then the best place is to go to Mecca and Medina. Rather than going for holidays to Turkey and Malaysia or other countries for the scenery, for the entertainment, whatever, better if we have the funds to go there, we have the funds to go to Mecca and Medina. Better to go to Mecca and Medina. The reward for prayer there is so much greater than anywhere else in the world. It's not worth missing. So we should be conscious of what we plan in terms of our journeys. And that's not to say that these are the only places we can go. We can't go to any place else. But at least we should try to go there. I find people, you know, in Malaysia who have flown over Mecca and Medina to get to Malaysia. And they have not been to Mecca and Medina. So this is something that we shouldn't let happen. Our first journeys that we're able to make, we should try to make them to Mecca and Medina. Having done that, having fulfilled our responsibility, then you want to go elsewhere, no problem. But priority should be given to these two masjids, these two mosques, where prayer in them is worth thousands of times more than prayer elsewhere. Also, for our families, when we're going on vacations, we should try to bring our families to these areas. You know, rather than taking them simply for entertainment, to Disneyland or to the value, what comes from Disneyland? Zero. Just plain entertainment. Maybe a good portion of it is not really even halal entertainment. So we should strive to use our resources in ways which are pleasing to Allah, going to places which are pleasing to Allah as much as we possibly can. And that doesn't mean that Islam doesn't allow us to enjoy ourselves. We can still enjoy ourselves, but always we have to think, is this really halal? Is this an acceptable way to enjoy ourselves? Is this pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We always have this perspective. So the best will always be what is most pleasing to Allah. And we try to do that at all times. Okay, we've come to the end now of our program, our episode on the best in Islam. And in it, we have looked at what is best in terms of where we travel, as well as looking at other aspects of jihad which clarify for us that jihad is not merely on the battlefield, but that the biggest battlefield for jihad is in our own hearts. And with that, we're going to bid you farewell and hope to see you in our coming episodes of The Best in Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.